for their jobs, but also outside the building.
Now, let's go live to Falcons training camp at Flowery Branch with Steak Shapiro and Sandra Golden. It's the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Steak and Sandra.
And we are live in Flowery Branch at Falcons training camp. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden. This is the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Day 3. In the esteemed history of the Steakhouse, and we are thrilled to be here. Had a great morning listening to the morning guys, John and Hugh, and especially all that NFL talk, which is awesome. And it's game week for the Falcons, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it'll look different this week for sure, right? Yeah, getting ready.
No doubt, guys. Mm-hmm. Listen, guys trying to make the team, guys trying to solidify positions as well. Lots to talk about coming up. We'll do the 9 at 9, 9 things you have to know. First thing on a Monday morning where a lot of kids are going off to school, my 11-year-old's first day of middle school today.
Little so, Bobby Shapiro little Bobby heading Shapiro. To middle school.
Middle school.
What school? You want to say it on the air or no? Don't say it.
Yeah, we
never
don't
mind.
Say it. But
yeah.
We toured it the other day, and he's excited, so it's his first day. And then my daughter's first day of her senior year. She goes to a different school will be next week. So a lot of parents going through that
I
same
know.
Thing.
I know. Well, good for you guys. I love seeing all the posts on social media where social media is good, all the pictures of first day of school and
yeah,
the
you
kids
like to
growing
see
up.
Pets and children,
lots
right?
of kittens, happiness, and
yeah.
kids.
Yes. How was your weekend?
It was good. I'm moving, you know, to Lake Oconee. So shout out Georgia Pack and Load. They made it so much easy, but moving sucks so bad.
They say that moving is the most stressful thing mm-hmm. in the world. That you can do.
Yeah,
one
it's
of
a
them.
Lot. It's 100%. But I'm getting good, getting organized. Drove in last night and staying up here at Flowery Branch, and all is good. I think we had a good couple of days.
Yes, indoctrinated.
And now
we haven't been hazed. Mike Conte said we have to show up at midnight on next Friday. Now there's some kind of a hazing ritual or something.
Perfect.
He said we're going to be blindfolded and we're going to be. I don't know. But he said it's usually 10 days in. So you better block off your Friday night.
I love it.
Yeah.
I can take it. And now I know how to remember the steakhouse, the name
yes.
of it.
Yeah, it was
so
nice.
Delilah's is a strip club. And then I don't.
So that's how you tell. The coaches so, don't think you're going to
oh,
the strip club.
Oh, so you just
club.
Say I'm at a
you
steak,
go to the steakhouse.
I see. Well,
or your wives
yeah,
or your girlfriends.
There you go. Well,
going
I just.
To the steakhouse.
Things I learned.
Yeah.
See, there we go.
Yeah, you learned something.
Good
All right, let's look at the things you have to know. First thing on a Monday morning.
I think this is 9 at 9. I'm going to go ahead and talk because we're at Flowery Branch.
Yes.
So hold on.
And we can't do anything until we hear our sounder.
Okay.
Which, you know, these things happen on remote.
Time for the 9 at 9.
The top headlines from the past 24 hours.
9 at 9.
On the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Much like the Atlanta Braves.
Much like that last transition.
It's some errors sometimes. We're all human.
Yes.
Dansby never makes errors, made errors Tuesday. If you just had take the five games, sum it up for me. What word
what
or
I,
set of words in the
what
disastrous,
word would I say?
The 1-4 outing?
Painful.
Yeah.
It was painful.
Yeah.
I said on Twitter, if this was, because it was New York City, if this was a Broadway show called 5 Games in 4 Days, the Atlanta Braves musical, I think the critics would shut the show down on Monday. They would be closed because that was about as bad as it gets. Even the game you win on Friday, the guy that gets the 8-0 lead gets sent down to the minors in Ian Anderson. So, like, even the one bright, shining moment had a dark side to it because you blow the lead almost, and Ian Anderson gets sent down to the minors.
So I think Braves fans, as we're waking up this morning, and I'll speak for myself and the rest of the Braves country, it's just complete and total disappointment. Like, you just – it was so hyped up, and I know it was only 5 games. You can't win or lose the division. But as we start to look at the numbers, and you wake up 6.5 back
– Yeah, that's a lot of games to lose over a weekend. I mean, you know, in a 3-game set, you always say, listen, you win one of the three, only lose a game. In a 5-game set, the only way to lose 3 games – is to basically go 1-4, which is what happened. That's and both ends of a doubleheader that really weren't that close.
No.
You get no hit yesterday, right? Perfect game for a while.
Jacob deGrom was so masterful.
Oh my
and
God,
perfect.
Did he look good? Holy
19
smokes.
Strikeouts yesterday. But let me back up for a second as well, because Braves fans, you wake up this morning and you're just 3 ahead of the Phillies. The Phillies have gone 10-1 since July the 27th. So if the wild card were today, yes, right? The wild card were today. Braves 1, Phillies 2, Padres 3, Brewers 4 as of today. We play the Mets 7 more times, and luckily I think it's all here in Atlanta. So they don't go back to the Big Apple unless it was some sort of playoff situation. Also, not to pile on, but yesterday you wake up, Ian Anderson now gets sent down. Travis d'Arnaud is walking around in a walking boot.
Yeah, he had a tough
after
weekend.
He gets tackled by the linebacker that is Pete Alonso. Ronald Acuna is scratched.
Yeah, that's the call they reversed, right?
Oh, my God.
Which I don't know why that happened.
Because it's in New York, and they are awful at replay. They can't get anything right. Absolutely awful. So it just was one thing after the next thing. They're off today. Spencer Strider's comments after the game, which we're efforting to get you, but he basically just says
he calls the Mets lucky. He goes after the umpire. And there are all kinds of things that probably you don't want to be doing. So, it was a lost weekend in New York for sure.
Yeah, you got to move on. You're off today. They're in Boston now for a couple of days. They have an off day again on Thursday to lick your wounds.
And then you get 4 with the Marlins, including a doubleheader next Saturday.
Yeah, which Ian Anderson will pitch one of those. And he's with the team still. So he's going to be – he's just, on with them. Also worthy, before we talk about Falcons training camp, which is day 8.
This is the 9 things you need to know, the 9 at 9 every morning we begin with. So these are some more things you need to know, correct?
Yes. This 285-400 debacle.
Yeah. I live right at the 285-400, right where it hits. So this
has been,
I can't tell you how many times I've been confused and ended up in Buckhead because you can't tell when you get off.
And it's really so dangerous
in
the way they miss
today?
Mark. Well, today was the major day, the 285 lanes at 400. Are open.
Opening.
So it's a west.
Is that good news?
Well, there was already a wreck this morning, and it was delayed by an hour and a half. So we'll see how it's going. I wonder if somebody wants to hit us up on Twitter at SportsSandra at Stick Shapiro and say, how is it? And it's a disaster. So day 8 training camp, we mentioned one of the 9 you should know. We got a game. We got a preseason game in Detroit on Friday. So the big headline was Arthur Smith saying, everybody who's healthy is going to play.
Yeah. No, he admitted last year, huge mistake in not playing these guys, and they weren't ready to go. And frankly, there's no window here. Your quarterback needs to play, absolutely. You only got 2 guys that are taking snaps, and it looks like, assuming Felipe Franks doesn't take any. So, yeah, everybody's playing a bunch.
Quickly, Kevin Harvick hadn't won a NASCAR race in 65 races, and he took the checkered at Michigan Motor Speedway. Congrats to him. And the NFL Hall of Fame over the weekend, just a big shout-out to Richard Seymour, the 5th Bulldog to get in. So I know you watch some of that, and you'll hear that in Things I Learned.
Yeah, I love the Hall of Fame stuff as well. So he's a damn good dog. Richard Seymour throws a shout out to Georgia. Hey, we told you last week how excited we are about the steakhouse, and all the folks are going to be a part of the show, not the least of which is maybe the most respected guy around high school and college recruiting, and just in general, a guy with great perspective, Rusty Manziel from
24/7 Sports. Mm-hmm. Fox 5, he's on all the time.
So he's a big media personality that now has a forum on this show. We're going to learn about him. We're going to talk a little bit about the Corky Kell, which is happening all week long. And he's going to give us some insight on SEC and the NIL and everything else. So if you haven't heard Rusty Manziel, he's awesome. And Kirby and the dogs open camp as well. He'll have more on that. So we say hello to our new teammate. A first time in indoctrination to our new teammate. Of course, he's going to be a part of the steakhouse moving forward, right?
Hey, yes, he is, and he's one of my favorite people on earth. Did you know that you can listen to all your favorite team stations, shows, and even podcasts all on the Odyssey app? Download it now.
Yeah.
My mom's listening on the Odyssey app up in Panama City. Shout out to my mom.
Also should mention Nick Saban last week, some controversial comments. What Rusty Manziel think about saying it's a rebuilding year last year for the Bama? And he'll comment on that. Rusty, coming up on Sports Radio. 92.9 The Game. This is The Steakhouse. This is The Steakhouse. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, newest member of the team, Rusty Manziel, coming up in just a second. Thrilled to be at Falcons and Flowery Branch. Just had a chance to chat off the air with Dave Archer, old friend. He'll be on with us later on. He's looking good, Arch, for sure, huh?
Wow. Dave Archer looks 15 years younger. I mean, I got to find what he's drinking. He's got the magic potion.
He's got something going
him
on.
Him and Buck Lanford at Fox 5.
Why are you checking on all these dudes? Did you just get married like
I
a year
know,
ago?
I know, because I've
you
grown up.
Never stop looking?
Grown
is, that, on... is that what they say? You never stop looking?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you say. That's what the boys say.
I'm just saying. You're talking about everybody. All these like 40, 50-year-old men you keep commenting
just
on.
I'm saying. They're my boys from all the years. Okay. And I look at them and I was like, maybe I should stop eating.
Joining us now, and he's going to be part of the tailgate segment. Then we're going to chat with him about a bunch of other stuff. Great friend, newest member of the Steakhouse, and getting ready to cover the Corky Kell. Rusty Manziel joining us from 24/7 Sports. Rusty, good morning to you, my friend.
Speaking of guys that are not in great shape, good morning.
Well, Sandra just keeps, I know she's like, keeps commenting about all these guys who are just in great shape. And I'm like, I'm standing here waving in front of her like, hello. Anyway.
Buck Lanford, he's getting after it. He is in great shape.
Dude,
I admit.
What is going on there? So,
first of all, we're so happy you're here, Rusty. Just we're thrilled to have a teammate like of your status. Like you are raising the bar.
I tell you what, everything I've done, and I've done a lot of really cool stuff over the years. I have never had this type of reaction from people coming up to me Saturday afternoon. A guy came up to me and said, man, I can't wait to hear you with Steak and Sandra. I mean, I've had so much social media reaction. I can't thank you guys enough for bringing me along for this ride. I'm so excited about this.
Well, I'll just say this. We are lucky in the sense we have a track record of working with folks at the beginning, and then they get too big and they move on from us, right?
Like, yeah, they trump us.
Like
they
the David
leave us
Pollocks
in the
of the world and, you know, L. Duncans and people like that. So hopefully we'll be able to hang on to you for a little bit. But, Rusty, just to give people some background, because you are going to be a part. When Sandra's not here, you'll literally be co-hosting in the chair, you and I together. That's going to be on a regular basis along with Drew Butler. You'll also be a regular contributor to the show and hopefully in studio as much as you can with Sandra and myself. But your background growing up in Rome and being around high school and college football, give people a little background that maybe haven't heard you and that are listening to this radio station.
Well, I mean, yeah, I grew up in Rome, went to Pepperell High School, was extremely fortunate to be a part of a state championship football team. I was never a college prospect. I was your typical, have great time high school football. Oh, by the way, I was 2-0 against Will Muschamp in high school. I mean, put that side note. You know, Pepperell Darlington back then was a big time game. So I like to let Will know every now and then I was 2-0 against him. He replies back a little different. But I just grew up around football, man, and I've always had a passion for it. I've always had a passion for recruiting. A person that probably everybody here knows, Andre Hastings and Garrison Hurst. Those two guys were massive, massive recruits coming out of high school, and it's kind of what fueled me to follow recruiting. Every angle I could find on those two guys. And Andre Hastings in Sports Illustrated, and just the passion of recruiting has really fueled me, and I've been very, very fortunate in my career in the last 12 years to go where I am. I never thought I would be at this point. Every day I'd never take it for granted.
Well, obviously, what it's turned into is a cottage industry that you're in the forefront of. Give people some idea when you post, for instance, about Georgia or when there's a big recruit signing, the kind of engagement folks may not be aware of that happens, even one of your Twitter posts or one of your whatever social media.
Well, you know, I'll give you some numbers and not bragging. I'll just tell you how passionate people are about recruiting and about college football. In the month of July, I had almost 6 million impressions on my Twitter account alone. And jeez. I'm sitting here thinking, "What? We're in a dead month. I mean, it's a dead month of July. So, yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of eyes on me in social media and posts and those types of things. And I'm very fortunate in that. I have to be very careful with that. And sometimes, I still like to interact and be myself. That's very important to me. I don't want to be stiff. I want to be myself. And I feel like I do that on social media. But it's crazy. I tell people all the time, listen, people love some college football. If you don't think so, go look at my social media. When I make a post, read the comments. Your team's going back and forth. And, you know, that's why I have a job.
Yeah. And the relationships, which I think is going to be exciting for our listeners, is all these high school coaches is a given. But then all these college coaches, which you've had develop, you know, really close relationships because they want to know I assume they're calling you seeking information, and you've had to build up just in the SEC and ACC alone some great relationships.
Yeah, that's the interaction between coaches and guys I've met over the years. I actually met Sam Pittman at a Jason Aldean concert, you know, and we were sitting there at Truist Park. Hey, we were sitting there at Truist Park, and he's in the battery. I'm in the battery, and I said, "Coach, I know you. He knows me." And we had a few. And next thing you know, we still talk a good bit. So, you know, I've got several of those relationships and those types of things. But the relationships with the parents and the kids, you know, I've known Trevor Lawrence and his family. I still talk to his dad, Jeremy, probably once every week. Just those relationships to me are just as important to watch these kids fulfill their dreams. And that's a huge part of me. That's a huge part of me. And to be able to watch these kids. And today we're going to see – I'm at this Corky Kell luncheon in Atlanta. And there's some guys that are going to play in the NFL going to sit in this room today.
All right, we're going to talk about that coming up. We're going to do our tailgate, so be a part of it as well.
It's time to tailgate.
No, we tailgate.
Taking a look around the world of college sports.
This is the tailgate on the Steakhouse.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rusty, I want to begin over in Athens and Eric Gilbert. And let me proceed that the fourth practice yesterday, everybody in shoulder pads, and Kirby has that megaphone on and he's screaming at folks. A lot of them freshmen, you know, running hard enough, that. But then I know you saw this, and I really want to know what is up with Eric Gilbert, because he's one of the ones.
Well, give the background, too, a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, well, I really want to hear Rusty. So what is going on? He went to LSU, then sat out a year. Five-star kid, right? So give everybody the background, and what is happening over there in Georgia?
Eric Gilbert's good to go. I mean, listen, you know, me was out there yesterday, and Kirby Smart is pretty high energy. As I And he gets on the microphone, and he doesn't sugarcoat it. I mean, it's a grown man's world, and some of the media heard him get after Eric a little bit yesterday, and that's nothing out of the ordinary. It doesn't matter who you are. At some point, Kirby Smart's going to get after you. I got some great stories we'll tell down the line on those types of things. But Eric Gilbert's a young man I first met in eighth grade. Georgia recruited him, offered him in the eighth grade. Really, really surprised everybody at the end when he went to LSU. At the end, I thought it was Alabama and Georgia. He walks up to the podium, and not one single person in the recruiting industry, not one, predicted him to LSU. He goes to LSU. Goes down there for a year, kind of gets homesick. Listen, he's an 18-year-old kid that everywhere he goes, people are taking pictures and autographs and those types of things. And, you know, he has some off-the-field things. But I've known Eric. I know his mother. His mother's a teacher in a big school system here in Atlanta. He has a solid foundation at home. And at that point, they wanted to bring him home. He came home, dealt with some things off the field, met those problems head-on. Went off for a little bit of time, but everything I've heard since he came back in January, Eric Gilbert is the Eric Gilbert I've known since he was in eighth grade. This guy has potential to be a first-round draft pick. He is the biggest and best jumbo athlete I've ever covered. The guy's 6'5", 265 pounds, and he plays like a wide receiver. Those are hard to come by. You know, Georgia's got Brock Bowers, got Tarnell Washington. Eric Gilbert will be a guy that's will be a very valuable weapon for Georgia.
Is this the greatest tight end room in the history of college football? I know that's maybe a leap, and I got to look at some of the 80s and 90s teams as well that were loaded, especially at Miami where they had lined up. But I mean, when you talk about the three guys you just mentioned, and the best pass catcher on the team obviously is Brock Bowers, and then the greatest specimen is Eric Gilbert, and Washington's not far behind that. It's certainly one of the all-time tight end rooms in history, is it not?
And no question. Everybody knows Darnell. Everybody knows Eric, and everybody knows Brock Bowers. I'll give you another name, a young man named Oscar Delp, who was an All-American out of West Forsyth last year. 6'5". He was the number two rated tight end, I believe, in the country. Oh, by the way, he's at Georgia, too. So they're not just three deep. They're four deep. Now, how much Oscar Delp plays this year, we'll see.
Yep.
But when we go back, stake, and look at this room, probably in 5 years, it's going to have a chance to rival that 0-2 when they had Kellen Winslow and all those guys down there at Miami when they were
Jeremy Shockey, I think.
Yeah,
was
Jeremy Shockey and all those guys. Yeah, I mean, that was a crazy, crazy room. So we'll go back and look, but certainly in the SEC in recent memory, I would have a hard time finding a better tight end room than what Georgia's going to trot out this year.
Just quickly, Rusty, I want to talk about Georgia Tech, who got underway on Friday, and then Todd Stansbury's gets on Twitter, and this three-page, I don't know if you saw it, Rusty, that three-page kind of, I call it the plea for patience to Georgia Tech fans.
Or to show up, please, right? Be kind to our student-athletes.
I'm recognizing the frustration. Please come. We need you to be loud and proud.
What'd you think of that, Rusty?
That's the first time I've seen that. And, you know, that tells you kind of where they are. I think everyone knows what's at stake this year. I mean, that's your guy. You hired Jeff Collins. They're running this program. And, you know, it's Jimmy's and Joe's. I mean, Jeff Collins didn't just forget how to coach. I mean, it's just right. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. At the end of the day, yeah. He's responsible for getting that roster to where it is. And, you know, it's hard. You lose a kid like Jahmyr Gibbs, who Alabama now saying he's going to be a first-round draft pick. You know, you lose a guy like that. So, you know, this is a huge season. You know, can they show some progress? Can they show some momentum there? But when you see something like that, that's kind of unprecedented to me. I've never seen anything like that. That's today's world. You want to get it. Usually that's a letter you set out to the alumni, but this man put it on social media for the entire world to see. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating on one end. The other end is how good could they really be given all the departures, given the schedule. The schedule is absolutely brutal. Jeff Sims has enormous pressure on him. But, if Jeff Sims is consistent, because he may be the biggest advantage they have, right? And everybody remembers when he starts as a – yeah.
Yes. Everything I've heard, there were so many teams, and this is so wrong, but I heard there were so many teams trying to get him away from Georgia Tech. So here's the one positive. If you want to find a positive, if you're a Georgia Tech fan, the kids that are left, they're together. You're talking about circle the wagon.
Yeah.
This is who we got, and this is who we're going to play with. These are the kids that chose to be here. These are the kids that wanted to stay. Jeff Sims stayed. He wanted to be a part of this program. They got some good transfers in that can help them. So if you want to look for one positive, they're circling the wagons down there, and everybody should be on board and know what's at stake right here.
And Chris Winkie, they finally bring in a quarterback coach to coach Jeff Sims, which could hopefully have a Heisman Trophy winner. All right, we got about a minute and a half, so let me go rapid fire while we still have you. Rusty Manziel, who's a part of the Steakhouse with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How surprised were you in the offseason by the Saban-Jimbo stuff, and was Kirby happy to sit back and eat some popcorn and watch that going on?
I'm sure Kirby was very happy to sit that one out, but listen, it's the SEC. Everything is there's pressure every single day. You just never know what type of mood he was in. You know, Nick Saban, honestly, he's still learning, and I don't care where you are. You might be in a room full of Alabama boosters, but if you say something like that, it's going to get out. So I'm sure everybody's reminded you've never completely off the record, so to speak. So, listen to the comment, the Nick Saban comment last week about rebuilding. I mean, everything he does is calculated. It's always been calculated.
Yeah, I was going to say that was that stirred it up as well, the rebuilding with a national title appearance and a Heisman Trophy winner and an SEC title. But that's Nick Saban. That's the beauty of it, right?
Absolutely, and he is why he is. And the Georgia fans were going nuts, thinking he was trying to make an excuse. I saw it as he was just calculated, you know, talking about his team going into the future and this team going to this year. You want to look on paper, rebuilding or not, this year Alabama to me is the favorite. Probably followed by Ohio State, then Georgia.
Anybody in the SEC East catching your eye? Obviously, it's Georgia and everybody else.
I want to see what Tennessee can do. I mean, this is your second season. This offense is difficult to deal with. I want to see if it's that time when you face that major league pitcher that dominates everybody and then you adjust, or can they continue to put pressure on everybody with Hendon Hooker coming back? They're not great on defense, but offensively, they bring something different than anybody else in the SEC does. So I want to see what steps Tennessee can take forward and maybe be that second team in the East.
All right, finishing up with Rusty Manziel on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Before we go, the Corky Kells become a huge deal. I want to know about the guys not going to play on Saturday, but some of the guys you think will play on Sunday. Five or six names to look for as we're flipping around watching these games and listening to the games on 92.9. Who are some guys we should be thinking
of? And what high school, Rusty, are they on?
Well, those games now are Wednesday through Saturday, the next week, not this week. So I'll give you a couple of names.
Sorry.
Obviously, it starts in Mercedes-Benz. You'll see a young man, Caleb Downs, the number one player in the state of Georgia. He is verbally committed to the University of Alabama. I think he's Eric Berry. He's a five-star. I think he's on a trajectory to be an NFL player, super high academic kid. I'll give you a kid committed to Georgia, Lawson Lucky out of Norcross. Oh, by the way, he plays tight end. His dad was a teammate of Kirby in college at University of Georgia. Lawson, I think, has got a great ability to stretch the field, big tight end guy. Stephalin Green, young man at Rome High School. He'll play on Friday night in primetime versus Creekside. Another defensive lineman committed to Clemson. I think he is outstanding football player. Dylan Lonergan, here's the one to watch. quarterback at Brookwood. He is a big-time baseball prospect. Pitcher, hitting mid-90s. He's committed to the University of Alabama at quarterback. You'll see him on Saturday in the Mercedes-Benz next week. So there's a lot of big-time players. We'll break them down. I'll be on TV. I don't even know how many times. If I look a little tired, bear with me. I'll be living on Red Bull and coffee for about 4 days. But look forward to it, man. It's the best kickoff classic in the country. Been going since 1992.
Well, Rusty, we look forward to having you once you things slow down after the Corky Kell and get ready to see the beautiful, sultry, handsome face of Rusty. He's working hard. This guy's working hard.
I want to get in shape before Sandra sees me.
Well, here's the thing. Some people may say you have a face made for radio, Rusty, but I tell them, pipe down. That is not
fair.
Thank you. All right. Thanks. Rusty Manziel, look forward to a great, great, great career together here at 92.9 The Game.
Hey, 92.9 The Game and thousands more radio stations plus millions of podcasts are all on the free Audacy app. That's how you guys can listen to us.
You got
to
get on the app.
It's A-U-D-A-C-Y. A little thing comes up, and then you punch in 92.9, and then you are all set. It'll remember it for you.
And great podcasts across the board. Hey, you think things could not get any worse than they were in New York over the weekend? We got a silver lining. That's what we're about here. Positivity.
Positivity.
That's coming up. Also, Arthur Smith tells us who's playing on Friday night. We're live at Falcons in Flowery Branch. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 9:45. This is the Steakhouse. If you are tuning in and wondering where your old friends are, they're there. We just snuck our way in here. We wormed our way in, and we're 9 to 11. So thanks so much to everybody at 92.9 The Game for allowing the Steakhouse to be a part of it. The home of the Falcons, home of the Hawks, home of Atlanta United, and home of the monster 100,000-watt signal driving up to Flowery Branch. You have no idea. I've been in radio 25 years, and I've never been able to drive to Flowery Branch and hear the radio station I'm on because by like 20 minutes up 85, it's like and it's the small things in life, right?
It is. And the setup, I feel like the queen.
Oh, dude, we are in the Mac Daddy setup at Flowery Branch. We're live at Falcons. This is the way they do things here. So cool. Amazing setup. It's really a TV setup more than anything.
It really is.
And we're thrilled to be here. So follow Sandra at Sports Sandra and follow Steak Shapiro at Steak Shapiro. And then follow us at 92.9 The Game. On Instagram and on Twitter, we're very active on there. You may see more food than you care to. There's a lot of, you know, food on my Instagram. And obviously a lot of sports and a lot of fun stuff. So, you know, I also get to do this food segment on V103, also on Odyssey.
Are you still doing this?
On Thursdays.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And you want to talk about good for social media. You get on a station like that, too, and you mentioned.
Yeah.
So let's see the game. Let's challenge them. Follow us.
I love it.
It builds our confidence, and we're very insecure.
People love the food. I don't know why.
Yeah, they do like the food.
They
stuff.
Love everybody. Here's this just in. Everybody eats.
Oh,
everybody
wow.
likes to eat.
Yeah.
So all that stuff you put out. And I literally have someone every single day ask Steak where I should go for X, Y, or Z.
Right.
So that's why I'm always like, listen.
Listen, here's his number. Call him. That's how I get all these strange texts. All right, a couple of quick things. I want to hear from Brian Snicker from the weekend. Obviously, disastrous weekend. Lose 4 out of 5 in New York. And the game they win, Ian Anderson can't hold the – well, he almost gives up the lead. He gets sent down to AAA. We'll get back to that in a second. But Arthur Smith, it's game week. We're playing the Lions. He's not going to make the mistake he made last year in his eyes of not playing, guys. Very clear. Who's going to be on the field Friday night at Ford Field?
Yeah, I'm not going to give away, but everybody will play unless they're dealing with some they're nicked up or something. But the mindset is everybody getting ready to play. How long will determine on a couple different factors, but we'll keep that in house. But I promise you, everybody's healthy. We'll play.
Friday, when we were here and stayed for his press conference, Steak, something jumped out when he said he is very honest with these guys.
Yeah, I said to him, "Do you literally tell a guy you're in danger of not making the team?" He said, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
It's almost like they say, and if you read enough business books and read about being a good leader, no one should ever be fired from a job that did not see it coming. And if
so
didn't
what
see
you're
it,
saying
yes.
is no one should be fired
oh, yes.
from a job.
Nobody should go
when
to
they don't
nobody
see
should
it
go out for
coming.
Breakfast
and have a 90-minute breakfast, and then I'll have a job at the end of it. But I'm not bitter.
It was very refreshing. He goes, listen, I'm honest with everybody. I wouldn't want to be treated that way. So I was like,
but you know what I'm saying?
Like, fresh air.
They'll tell you that if somebody doesn't know that they're going to lose their job, that's usually a problem. I'm really funny that you brought that up, but that's not what I'm referring in general. But that's a thing. Like,
yes.
And then I said, dude, you tell a guy he's not going to be starting. He said, yeah, you tell him this is the problem.
Yeah.
Like, you're not. Right now, we don't have you projected as a starter. And already some guys that played last year already, Isaiah Wilkinson is taken over as well on the offensive line, which, you know, is another example of the old, you know, guard isn't going to work given how many sacks we gave up last year. And that a lot of positions are up for grabs. And he said he's super honest about it. Listen, covering Arthur Smith, he ain't playing. Like, we were at the press conference with him the other day. Nice enough guy. Serious about football.
I think he's good with the media. I think he knows these reporters and everybody who's out here knows us by name and is very honest. Like, even talking about an injury, he goes, I'm not going to tell you his business. I'm going to tell you what the status is kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I liked it.
And he's got a great relationship with a lot of guys here, particularly
Cordero.
Mike and Carl, which, yeah. And
I thought you were going to ask about that Cordero Patterson. That's his boy.
Oh, yeah. They had a great mic'd up exchange mm-hmm. from last week as well. So we're thrilled to be here. We'll be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be here Wednesday. We'll talk to Dave Archer. We'll talk to a lot of other folks. Also talk to Drew Butler, NFL, not only a former NFL player, but also part of the steakhouse as we just load up on talent. And that's coming up later on this week as well. Let's turn to the Braves. And obviously, I think the Mets flexed their muscle. They did it when they got out of the All-Star break by beating the Yankees a couple of times. They did it by not allowing the Braves, once the Braves got close, to get to first place or get close enough. And now they've just opened it up, 6.5-game lead. And yesterday, a lot of moments yesterday, as well as on the weekend, on Saturday, where you lose both games and you're kicking it around a little bit. And then yesterday, obviously, Jacob DeGrom was nasty.
Jacob DeGrom, this is what I found this morning. The Braves fanned on his slider the first 18 attempts.
They had 19 strikeouts.
19
as
strikeouts.
A team.
90% whiff rate against that pitch is the highest recorded during pitch tracking era. They couldn't hit anything. Saturday back up, the mental errors. You don't see those guys make.
They did
four errors in two games.
It was a hot mess.
Yeah, I agree.
Brian Snicker knows as much.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a good weekend, obviously. You know, we struggled to win the one game we did, and, you know, we were down, I think, in all of them. Except for the one we won, it was a rough weekend.
Here he is also talking about, as we all know, it's August and it's far from over.
I think they'll realize that because they've experienced it. They've been through it, and they're going to know that this thing's far from over, that's for sure. So, like I say, we got a lot of games to play. We can get hot again. Honestly, I didn't expect this thing after, you know, the run we've been on for the last 6-7 weeks to not have another bump in the road.
And same thing can be said about the Mets. They gave up the lead, you know, rather quickly when the Braves went on their run. But they got back on track. 162 games is an eternity. And the ebb and flow, and certainly the Mets now looking much more like a championship contender. We know the National League is loaded. Dodgers have built a Herculean lineup and pitching staff. Padres obviously had maybe the best player in baseball. And then, of course, you have the Braves and the Mets and Brewers and Phillies, by the way, have been, what, 10-1 of late?
10-1 since July the 27th. They're only three back when you wake up this morning. Braves will take a day off today, a much-needed day off in Boston. And then tomorrow night, Charlie Morton, Rich Hill will be on the mound. Then they have another day off on Thursday, and then they're in Miami. So, boy, if you give it the eye test, I think you got to be real, y'all.
Well, this is
the Mets are four. I don't think they'll be Metsing anytime soon with 52 to go and you're
yes.
6.5 back.
Well, Spencer Strider also making some comments after the game about the umpires, calling the Mets lucky. I don't know how that's going to play, but it was.
I don't know. It helps when they're getting calls and a 1-1 counts turns to 2-1 counts instead of 1-2 counts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't mincing words. By the way, I cannot find it anywhere on the internet now. I think they pulled it.
Braves do not want that out there too much. He also says, Spencer Strider, that we'll see in October. So good to win in August. We'll see in October. So a lot of cockiness there.
They just lost 4-5.
Yeah, just got smoked pretty good. Hey, when we come back, it's the highlight of, I don't know, my day.
My day for sure.
Things I Land over the weekend. And boy, do we have a lot, from Atlanta United to Richard Seymour in the Hall of Fame. And our own Bo Morgan has a moment. I don't know that I've seen a better moment.
They call him Squidbilly around here.
Yeah.
These parts.
That name started a long time back when we were together.
Yeah.
Don't miss Things I Learned. Coming up right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.